Indeed a privilege to stand before you, and I thank give thanks to Pastor April for the privilege I have. When you only, you're just preaching every Sunday, you kind of a little better discipline than you do when you only preach once or twice a year like me. I promise not to rattle on too long. Isaiah chapter 43 goes like this. But now, thus saith the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you ford the current of the rushing streams, the waters shall not overwhelm. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. For you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. The second scripture is a little more familiar to us, the 23rd Psalm. We're going to share this together. You see it up behind me here. We're not going to do the minister people thing. We're going to read it the whole thing together to celebrate this, the shepherd's psalm, together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my life. Lead me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait a minute, Lord. What's this about I have to walk through a valley? This whole thing about resurrection, Easter, that we get to work around, we get to triumph over death, right? Yes, right. But we still go through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, could be the subtitle for this particular photo. You ever feel like that cat? You ever feel like that cat? For the dogs, and nothing against dogs. I have two dogs of my own, which we love dearly, and are companions. But, you know, still the dogs of war. The dogs of despair. The dogs of discouragement. The one I struggle with personally, the dogs of depression, are always there for us. You know, it is not common knowledge, but it came more so after that amazing Saint Mother Teresa went to be home with the Lord. It was learned that in the latter half of her life, she struggled with depression and with a sense that she could only see God, that is Jesus, in the face of others, but not in her own self. Amazing. This wonder, amazing woman struggled with depression. That line from Amazing Grace, I think of it every time I go through an airport. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and it's only grace, not the TSA, that leads me home. All of us travel through life. We run into difficulties and problems, illnesses, unexpected things. Now that expression, maybe you've heard it. You want to hear God laugh? Share God with God your plans. The unexpected things can happen. For example, one day, and some of you may be aware, as a retired person, Karen and I are full-time RVers. We live in our motorhome. And not too long ago, we were driving together on U.S. Highway 287, southbound, in southwestern Montana. And lo and behold, ahead of us, well, let's try it. Let's see for yourself. That's the dashboard here. That's the dashboard of our motorhome. And this is what we face. And Karen says, what am I supposed to do? And somebody said, you just kind of keep on driving a little bit. And I understand about 1 minute before this, we were doing a cool 65 miles per hour on this two-lane road. And then came over the rise, and here it was. Life is full of the unexpected. The dogs of depression are the cattle of catastrophe. And if we hadn't had good grace, it would have been catastrophic for both us and at least one of these cattle, of course. You see, there's a pickup or a SUV there trying to figure out what to do as well. You never know what you're going to find on the highway when you're driving in southwest Montana. Stuff happens. Unexpected things happen. There's the cow woman, I don't call them cow, with two kids, one behind and one in front, behind the curb. Stuff happens. Unexpected things happen. We're all excited and celebrated for the Winter Olympics. The one time Karen and I regret not having television coverage, live TV coverage. We don't. We don't have TV reception where we are. This is the one time we love the Olympics. And then the sad death of a 21-year-old Olympic luge athlete. Sad, tragic. Kind of punctures the celebrative atmosphere in Olympic Village. And when they happen to us, it's especially painful. And we try to prepare for these things. We try to get insurance. But we get caught midair and our wheels come off of our life. No matter how well we plan, we feel overwhelmed. Like the current economic mess we find ourselves in. We're just in too deep, it seems, to dig ourselves out. I wonder if the operator of this crane feels like Ben Bernanke of the Federal Reserve, or maybe Timothy Geithner of the Treasury Department. If they don't feel like this, trying to dig us out, trying to dig our nation out. You know, we want to turn to professionals and say, come on, we elected you, you're smart, you know all about these financial markets and derivative, what do they call them, derivative certificates, all these things I have no clue what they're talking about. You're a professional, you're not going to screw it up, are you? Well, even professionals can screw things up. Your trains will collide. And you wonder if the president of General Motors and Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual, you know, were like engineers in a train collision. Even the optimism of 2008, yes, we can! Yes, we can! Has turned and ground down into, well, we think we can, like the little engine, but it's going to take time, long time, and it's going to be painful. Okay, fine, but in the meantime, a lot of people out of jobs. Privilege of getting to know one of the residents of our hospitality network project a couple weeks ago when we were housing homeless here in the church. Hey, this guy's not a drunken bum alcoholic on the street homeless. He had a job that took him around the Mediterranean world for an international company. Now he's jobless and homeless. When we hear the words of Scripture, like today's Isaiah 43, that read, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, and they shall not overwhelm you." It's frankly not very encouraging. I mean, passing through the waters, got to reboot the computer here. To err is human. To screw up big time requires a computer. Put that over your monitor if you have at home at work. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we find that we don't want to go through the waters. When the scripture says you shall pass through the waters, you shall walk through fire, this is not very encouraging. We're Christians and God's supposed to save us, right? Right? But you still have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm not talking about just when we die, but when the world around us is killing our spirit. We want to escape from our crushing problems. But God just turns us around and says, here it is. But the promise is, I will be with you. And even better, walking through fire really came alive to me a number of years ago. The Cedar Fire in San Diego County. See a picture of what it's like to drive down I-5 in the middle of the night and have flames lighting up the horizon. Southwest, southeast. Plus people lost their homes. 15 men died, burned to death, including one firefighter. That's taken from I-5, right out here, by the Balboa exit in the south town. I-5, that's the Cedar Fire. That's at 10 o'clock at night. Some of you here in Denver. And here's the scripture, you shall pass through the fire. You will walk through the fire. Now the Psalm 23 can be a little encouraging to us. The image of the Good Shepherd is a very ancient one. The appeal is strong, even though few of us, if any, have ever encountered real shepherds. So let me tell you about my encounter with the real shepherd. See, it's a Byzantine icon from 1700 years ago. It shows how Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's a very popular image. I met a shepherd, again, in Montana. This was 30 years ago. I was, this time, driving alone on Highway 89A, trying to get back to my office, Manna Hot Springs. I was late for a meeting. Oh boy, no pastors and their meetings. The church's one foundation is a committee meeting. It's a Methodist thing, isn't it? And Methodist Church has more boards than a lot of houses I know. I can say that because I'm retired. But it's true, isn't it? I was on my way to a committee meeting, and I was late. And all the volunteers are going to be really ticked off at me. So I was taking advantage of the, 30 years ago, the Montana no speed zone. Did you know that 30 years ago, up until about 20 years ago, there were no speed limits out in the country in Montana during the day? You go drive through Montana and it said, a black sign said, speed limit 55 at night. In the daylight hours, no speed limit. And it was a wide open highway and I was taking advantage of it. Came down over a little rise and I was standing on my brakes. This time it wasn't cattle like it was years later with Karen and motorhome. This time I was alone on Highway 89 and it was sheep. A whole flock of sheep. A whole sea of gray and white wool. And I was fishtailing to a stop to avoid hitting the first one early, and fortunately I did, and the sheep just came around me and kept going the opposite direction. And my car and I became an island in a sea of mutton, of sheep. And what on earth is going on here? I didn't see anybody. It was just, I was sheep going to all the horizons and going to all directions. Except, you know, the fence right there, right away, just this long river of sheep. Finally they came, the shepherds. Only they were carrying a staff and a crook like, you know, in the Christmas pageant. They were riding a pickup truck. With teenage boys in the background swinging ropes and hollering and screaming four-letter words. And they weren't life and love either. And hollering, driving the sheep forward. And a couple of horseback riders on either side of the pickup doing the same thing, swinging a rope, screaming and hollering, cursing and cutting and at those sheep, driving them forward. They saw me, smiled, flipped me off, and went on their way. And I sat there going, and I can't help it, came to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I didn't like this song after that for a long time. A friend of mine named Joe Hubbard, who's a pastor in the Northwest Conference, returned from a trip to the Holy Land. And I was sharing this story with Joe, and he said, "Well, Ed, you were encountering Montana shepherds, or actually any America, any, not just Montana, any place in America. The shepherds in the East, to this day, are like operating like the shepherds did in Jesus' time, and like shepherds did in the time of David. When he wrote Psalm 23. Shepherds do not, even to this day, go behind the sheep and drive them forward and push them forward. No, shepherds in the Middle East to this day walk in front of the sheep. And turn and call the sheep. And the sheep have learned to know and trust the voice of the shepherd. And they will follow. As long as they hear that shepherd's voice that they have learned to know and to trust. In fact, when the shepherd's too old and got to, you know, retire or do whatever they, you know, can't do it anymore, the new shepherd has to accompany the old shepherd for a while and mix his voice, or, you know, excuse me, him, his voice with the voice of the previous shepherd so that the sheep will learn to associate the new voice with the voice that they already know and trust. Otherwise, the sheep won't listen. And the shepherd goes in front, calls the sheep to follow. The reason they're in front is because with that staff, it's not to bonk the sheep. It's to keep the predators at bay, to protect the sheep from the predators. They will encounter the predators first, and they will lead the way. There's nothing that the sheep will go through that the shepherd has not already encountered. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I call my sheep by name, and they know my voice, and they follow me." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. He doesn't drive. God doesn't drive. Forward, pushing us in. Come on, believers. That's what I love about this church. It's, come on, let's go, not a, come on, get on moving. You know? Too many churches I go to, the pastor's up there browbeating and people tell them to get moving. That's not a shepherd. The shepherd goes in front and calls them. I call my sheep by name and lead them out. I go ahead of them. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, says our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus walked, like we used to sing when I was in youth group years ago, Jesus walked that lonesome valley. our heads. That's why his cross and his resurrection are so significant for you and me. Not just a tragedy of history, which it is. But Jesus leading the way through sin and death, a painful death. I'll never forget visiting an elderly shut-in in one church I served years ago, and she said to me, "You know, I raised my kids to be Christians, and they are, and fought a war against the fascists, and we won, and went to church, and gave to church all my life, and why am I dying in pain of cancer?" The promise is, the Lord is our shepherd. He will lead us through that despair. Because Jesus has been there already. And comes out clean and shows us the nail printed hands and says, "Behold, I died. But now look, I am alive. And because I live, so shall you." Jesus is the shepherd who leads us. One of the joys and privileges of retirement is I get to read fiction. And I read this wonderful book by Ann Perry. Actually, it's a series of four books about a British chaplain in World War I, the Great War, the war to end all wars, which was so tragic. Chaplain Reedley, Anglican priest, serving in the Western Front, was testifying in a court-martial against a soldier who had caused the death of his platoon himself through his negligence. The defense counsel said, "What happened to you in the trenches of the Western Front, Chaplain Reedley? A loss of faith in everything, perhaps even God? What happened to you in no man's land you described so well? The cold, the wet, the blood, the agony, the relentlessly being shot at. And were you hit and seriously wounded, weren't you? Are you lashing out at a God who did not protect you and your fellows from all this, and then blaming my client instead?" Chaplain Reedley responds, "You are right when you said I tried being all things to all people." He replied with a strange, aching calm, "Like when I was talking to my fellow minister about what to say to a young soldier returning home with no legs and half his lungs gone because of poison gas. Sometimes there's nothing you can do or say except be there." That minister asked me if I was sure that there is a God, quite sure. And frankly, sometimes even I can't be quite sure. There was a moment of silence hanging in the court-martial room, and then leaning forward a little, Joseph continued, "But there are things I am sure of. The things Jesus taught of honor, courage, love, sacrificial love are always true in any imaginable world. Because Christ not only taught them, he lived them, and he went to the cross for them. Whether you choose to follow them with all the strength you have or not, has nothing to do with anyone else. If you stand alone, then you do. And you don't do it just to give to this person or that. Not out of obedience, nor loyalty in anything, and certainly not for reward. You do it. Follow Christ. Because that is who you choose to be." You and I have a choice these times. Who or what will you follow? Who will you choose?
Our good shepherd, Lord Jesus, we are thankful to hear your voice calling us. And yes, we do choose to be among your sheep and follow where you lead. And because your love and care for us is the great peace and confidence and encouragement of our lives, we are able today to join our voices together in prayer. praying the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.